All right, 6:10, and we'll go to Tom Rivers from ABC here in just a couple of minutes. We've got some Blackhawks stuff to get to. We've got Blackhawks tickets to get to. We've got Q. We've got Alex Stone later, actually dealing with the Cuba side of the story. We'll get to all of that coming up. But at 6:10, what we know is essentially what you heard. And what you heard is that about 8 o'clock local time in Belgium, a coordinated three-way attack, at least three ways, the primary damage being two people at the airport and one at the train station, all blowing themselves up. There's 25 people dead at this point. And more expected, when Abdul al-Salam, the terrorist from the Paris attacks, was arrested finally on Friday, I believe, a block from his home, or the home they expected that he would that he lived in and grew up in a very tight-knit neighborhood, one of those no-snitch neighborhoods. There was concern that as soon as he was arrested, he might talk. And if he talked, then whatever acts were being planned had to be taken immediately. And that's where this led, and that's the assumption this morning. But as is always the case with this stuff, we think we know what we know, and then we find out that's not what we know at all. So it'll take a little while to get this all figured out. And when we do, we'll know more. But until then, we don't know much. On a local note, Trump wants to attack the Ricketts for advertising against him previously. He's now saying he may run ads against the Ricketts because they're running the Cubs wrong. What does that mean?
Yeah, he says he's going to run ads suggesting that they're doing a rotten job running the Cubs. Now, you can say what you want, and they can have their political differences, whatever, but if you look at strictly the way the ball club has been trending up, I don't even think that...
I don't even know what it means.
I don't think... Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like... it's sort of like, well, yeah, so are you, kind of. Yeah, right? I mean, you're one too. I don't get it.
This can't be related to the actual on-field product. This has to be something related to the business side, right? They're being run wrong.
Well, I think his suggestion was the team is being improperly managed because he is not. He's trying to fire back at them. So what's
right? But I mean, he can't comment on the on-field stuff and not sound like a
moron.
But
how does he know how the business is being run?
Well, I would say, I'd just guess he'd know more about the business side than he would anything else. Rumors amongst those with money.
I guess if you travel in those circles, but.
But it was Tom Ricketts' mom that.
Marlene.
What's her name?
Marlene.
Marlene. Who was funding one of these super PACs, mm-hmm. who started the avalanche of ads against Trump.
Right.
So I don't know why this came up again. There's a couple of things that have come up in the last week with him which are hard to explain.
This was before the Washington Post editorial board. They asked him about previous
company. Got it. Because the other thing that came up the other day that was hard to figure out is why he suddenly went after Megyn Kelly again. Because that felt completely out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
The president remains in Cuba for a short period of time. It's unclear whether he'd come back based on the attack on Belgium, one of our allies, essentially the capital of Europe, the home base of NATO, and grave concern this morning because, again, if you're just waking up to this, and we'll go to Tom Rivers here in about a minute, Tom Rivers from ABC, but a three-pronged attack, at least three suicide bombers, two at the airport in Belgium and one at a large metro station, have killed at least 25 this morning, just days after the arrest of the last known survivor of the Paris attacks. And you could certainly make what feels like a safe assumption now, that triggered this in some sort of panic to get in their insanity before they were caught, those who are now dead. But, you know, again, you've got a support system in Belgium which needs to be rooted out. And until it is, this threat will continue because there's a lot of support people who allowed these attacks to take place this morning, Belgium time. And because of that, where are those people and what are they planning? And is there another wave of this coming? By the way, the border now to France has been closed. The Belgian border to France as well. All right, 6:50. Mayor, what do you have in traffic while we stand by for Tom Rivers from ABC?
We have an accident inbound Bishop Ford at Sibley. Two left lanes are blocked with that. Otherwise, building into Cicero on the Stevenson. The inbound Ike's already up to 40 minutes from 53. And an accident in Orland Park at Harlan and Wheeler. Traffic sponsored by Verizon. Put some smarts in your car. Plug in Hum by Verizon to get vehicle diagnostics, emergency assistance, and pinpoint roadside assistance. For a smarter, safer, more connected car, go to hum.com. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Tom Rivers joins us now. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, guys.
And tell us, you know, we had an update a second ago, but tell us what you know from ABC.
Well, sadly, the death toll is rising. 15 dead at the subway station right by the European Union headquarters in the center of the capital. And at least 13 dead out at the international airport. And that's the one that began things today. Two explosions there in the departure lounge right before check-in, close to American Airlines check-in, but the thinking was not necessarily targeting that, but very, very powerful indeed. And people evacuated from there. No flights coming in or out today. From there, a subway system shut down, Eurostar shut down as well. So, yes, people are being told, stay at home today.
This attack obviously mirrors some of the same sort of methods that were taken in France. Multiple locations, multiple suicide bombers. And ironically, the one that chose not to detonate his vest or didn't because of a malfunction is still alive, though he's in custody. That'd be Abdul el-Salam.
Exactly. And apparently he's been through leaks. He's been talking to the authorities and he's been saying things like, yes, there were other things in the pipeline. And we didn't know, should we take that at face value? Is that bravado? We don't know. But it sadly looks like that was the case. One thing the interior minister said in a radio interview 2 days ago, very chilling. He said the network seems to be much more widespread and vast than they even imagined. So the fear was, yes, something like this could happen somewhere down the road.
Is there any reason to jump on the assumption that the Belgian authorities somehow blew this? There was already heat that this Abdul el-Salam was found a block away from his home. But this is one of those no-snitch neighborhoods, right? Nobody was talking and nobody was letting anybody in.
It appears to be the case. And it really begs the question, too, what else can you do? Ever since Abdul Salam was apprehended, they threw on 5,000 more police. Okay, so no leave. Everybody on the streets on the heels of this attack today, 1,600 more. At what stage do you say there isn't any more left to deploy? But that's what they're doing right now, military as well on the streets.
All right, Tom, thank you. We'll check in with you again, but we appreciate it.
Take care.
Tom Rivers from ABC News covering Europe. So, you know, look, if you're traveling to Europe this morning, obviously make a phone call because you may not be, or you certainly may not be on the same schedule that you planned. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about this. Nick would normally join us today. Obviously, we're going to switch that off for the time being and maybe get him in tomorrow, but he'll certainly be on with us on Thursday. Right now, it's 6:19 on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
6:23. No idea who actually are the perps in this attack in Belgium this morning. Where exactly? Let me go to my Belgium ambassador, Mary. Mary, have you been to Belgium to see your ancestors, your people?
I was only there once in 2004.
Okay.
I was in Brussels. I did not visit my relatives, but I have quite a few second cousins there that come here quite often to visit us. And most of them live in the Antwerp area, which is north of Brussels. So
I keep referring to this as Belgium. Belgium is a country. Brussels is the city. This
yes.
is where the attack took place.
Yes.
At the airport
at
at the train station.
Yes.
And this main airport is very large. Mm-hmm. And you think about it, when you walk into the airport, you walk into O'Hare, you walk into Midway, before you get to security and you start taking off your clothes, there is that area that is largely unsecured. And that apparently is where this took place.
Right, at the gate.
Yeah, prior to actually walking through security.
The ticket counter area,
yeah.
Right.
So it took out part of the ceiling in one section of the airport, the train station. Boy, you think about the impact, just the physics of an explosion going off in the train station. And you could see how the damage can be just multiplied.
And it's such a busy city, and this was 8 o'clock in the morning,
right.
Rush hour time. And, you know, it's such a hub. I mean, Brussels is such a hub. It's so close to every, you know, it's close to Germany. It's close to France. It's close to Luxembourg. It's close to many countries, and it's such a small country itself. I mean, it's like the size of Maryland.
Right.
So that's a tiny country, and but Brussels is a huge city.
And because of its location and because of the fact that it's a democratized society, you've got the location, which is key to you put NATO there. You put the head of it's the capital of Europe.
Capital. Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the middle of Brussels, you would think you're in a safe situation. Well, after Paris, there were police all over the street and it was martial law for a period of time. The city is locked down again. And the country will largely be locked down now until they try to find the rest of the people that are still alive who supported these three that killed themselves this morning. But if you immediately want to jump on Brussels authorities, how'd they miss this guy who was a block away to begin with? And how did they not have better control over the publicity surrounding the arrest that led to the fuse being lit on the three attacks that took place this morning? You got to be careful with that kind of stuff, because if you live in a civilized society, the only way to stop this thing immediately is you suspend all civil rights. Anybody can walk into your house and look for anything without a search warrant. Anybody can do anything they want under the greater good of trying to find out if you're one of them. And I don't think any of us want to live in that society.
No, you don't want to live. And it's such a tourism area as well, you know, just like Paris is. And I think that's why some of these terrorist hubs flock to Brussels area. And that's, you know, they're from so many different countries, and this is where they end up. And it's really sad to see.
We're going to keep an eye on it through ABC and other places. Our old friend Micah Halpern, we're going to try to get him on this morning to talk about who these thugs may be in relation to the rest of the thugs in the world. We're also checking with the Brookings Institute and other places that we normally go to. When attacks occur, it's no longer if, it's always when. Later on this morning, we'll talk to Mayor Rahm Emanuel about things obviously locally. There's actually good news for the city of Chicago, so how about a little of that today? Did we ever hear back from CNET? Is anyone from CNET joining us today? No? We're still waiting? Yeah, we're still waiting on CNET. I'm not quite sure what Apple did yesterday. They released a new iPad that's got a couple new bells and whistles. But they actually came out with a smaller phone. Is anyone asking for that? I mean, are we going retro now? Are we going to go flip phone?
Wasn't the last one a bigger phone?
They're always bigger.
The 6S.
They're too big. They can't fit in your pocket.
So you like the idea of a smaller phone?
Yes. I like the idea of back with a flip phone.
Actually. Oh, you actually want the flip phone?
I do. I like the flip phone.
I want one with like a cord.
A cord that attaches to a wall.
And a rotary dial.
Like a twisty cord.
Yes.
Like
long cord.
Yes. Yeah, something you could, it extends.
Right, and it's really hard to untwist once it gets super twisty.
Yeah, and a rotary dial with...
That will never work, John.
Do you remember the coolest house was the one that had the cord that was really long where you could take the phone and you could walk into other rooms?
Until the about the third day when it got so tangled.
Oh,
and then,
great.
You know, your brothers and sisters would wrap it around your neck and try to choke you every day. It was always fun.
Good times. Mm-hmm. Good times. 628, we'll come back with a big story in a moment. And this is 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week, sponsored by our friends at Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. WGNradio.com/contest is how you submit an entry for a kid between 5 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week. The winner will be announced here. And then in December, once again, Dave and Mary will pick the Kid of the Year.
Gladly.
Oh, the pressure's on already.
The Kid of the Year gets $5,000. You know, and last year that $5,000 scholarship was, I'm sure, put to good use. We'll do it again this year. You guys didn't want to do it last year, and then it turned out to be an honor.
Well, I never said I didn't want to do it.
We were very nervous. It's
how
hard,
did I misinterpret? These are the words. I don't want to do it.
Well, I can that see how you might have misinterpreted that.
That seemed to indicate you didn't want to do it.
Well, not really.
Right.
Didn't want to be blamed, you know. Pressure.
The Kid of the Week and Kid of the Year honors, again, thanks to Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. We hope you get information in on a kid that's special to you. Here's the latest. I met Casey when I interviewed her for a local newspaper. And I want to make sure I get the name right. Casey King. Is that the right name? because K-A-C-I is a unique spelling. And the last thing you want to do is get a Kid of the Week's name wrong. You know what I mean? It's nothing but trouble.
Absolutely.
I met Casey when I interviewed her for a local newspaper. She's an outstanding 11-year-old. She's been dancing with studios since she was four. Bet she's better than Geraldo. won 4 national awards, numerous other awards. She was recently selected to be lead dancer in a professional musical produced in New York City by famed producer Rachel Sage. The theme of the video is titled, I Don't Believe It. It's not letting anyone bully you or take away your dream. So here's a kid, straight-A student, who, using her talents to try to stop the bullying epidemic in this country, which is pretty great. So you guys tell me what line I'm going to here when you're ready. Casey, as I said, straight-A student, and every year she performs at her parents' event to raise money for Special Olympics. Sweet, charming, polite kid, very modest, and totally dedicated to dancing and helping others as well. You said line 5 for Casey? Let's go there now. Good morning, Casey. How are you?
I'm good.
I hate to interrupt your dancing. Did you watch Dancing with the Stars last night?
Oh, no, I actually didn't.
Well, that's good. You're probably doing your homework, and you went to bed like a good kid. Is that accurate? Is that what you normally do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Do you ever watch Dancing with the Stars?
I mean, I've seen a couple episodes of it, yeah.
I could see you on there, being the dancing star that you are. There's a guy on there named Geraldo, who is a news guy. He's, like, he's pretty old. Like, what's old to you, Casey? What do you think is old? Like, how old would you have to be old?
Maybe, like, 60,
70s, 80s. Yeah, 60. 60's probably old. This guy's 72, I believe. His name's Geraldo. 73, his name's Geraldo, and he's funny when he dances. So maybe your mom will show that to you online because you guys could have a giggle over it. So how come you love dancing so much?
Well, it's just kind of a way to escape out of things. Like if I have a problem or just, like, I'm not feeling good that day, I'll just dance, and then it just, like, makes everything go away.
Oh, that's cool.
But then also it makes me feel good. Like, it makes me feel great.
So you like the exercise of it, and there's a little bit of therapy in it too. If you're having a tough day, it makes you feel better about things.
Yeah, exactly.
What if you're having a good day? Do you like to dance when you're having a good day too?
Yeah, I dance every day. I never stop.
Well, that's great. You're already one of my favorite 11-year-olds. tell me about this thing you're doing to help stop bullying.
Well, my sister was born with temporal lobe epilepsy, mm-hmm. and when she was younger, she had a lot of seizures, but she hasn't had one in a while.
Good.
But, so my mom and my dad, they put her in Special Olympics, which is an event, well, it's not an event, but they made an event called Living It Up, and it's to raise money for Special Olympics, and uh-huh. I've always danced there, and at the Special Olympics award shows, I've danced there also. And so I help raise money and dance for Special Olympics to help because of my sister.
Well, that's very cool. And just because your sister has some special concerns doesn't mean anybody can bully her or anybody else.
Yeah, I will always stand up for her, and she always stands up for me.
Well, you got a great family. Well, Casey, we're proud of you. You're the Kid of the Week. I'm going to talk to your mom here in just a second.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? No, it's not her mom. Who's Linda? Linda's the nominee, the nominator.
Yes, Linda's the
nominee. The nominator. Remember the remember the Schwarzenegger film, The Nominator.
Mm-hmm.
Hold the line for me just a second, and let me go over here where Linda joins us now. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Steve.
Linda Lamond.
Yes, that's correct.
And are you a reporter, or what? You work for a newspaper?
Yes, I'm a correspondent for the Post Tribune.
All right, great.
In North Indiana.
Well, nice to talk to you. That sounds like a pretty special kid.
Oh, yes. That was my impression of her.
Yeah, so this bullying aspect of it I was attracted to, but also, you know, trying to help her sis with this Special Olympics piece of it is great as well. But you know what you love to hear, and I'm sure you're the same way. I love to hear Linda when an 11-year-old goes, listen, I had a bad day. You know what I'm going to do about my bad day? I'm going to go dance.
Yeah, yeah. Her mom and grandfather said she was virtually born dancing. You know, she's been dancing since she was a toddler.
We got to get it wrecked up with Geraldo quick because I don't think he's going to be around long. Well, I'm really glad you told us about her. I'm going to force you. I know you don't want this, but I'm going to force you to take some prizes from us as well for letting us know about a great kid. So hold the line, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Linda Lamon and little Casey King. And you know what's funny is you should never forget what it felt like to be 11, because while you might be thinking, 11 years old, what kind of problems can you have? When you're 11, there's stuff happening in your life that can bug you. You can have a bad day.
Fall off your bike.
Yeah, well, you got a friend that's not nice to you and stuff like that. Maybe a tough day at school.
You can think how someday you're going to be old and you'll be like 60.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I do the same thing every day I dance.
Right. It's a little slower in your case.
I don't move.
Right. But in your head, you're Baryshnikov.
I'm unbelievable.
We're going to dance in here every day now, I've decided, because it'll make us feel about really good. Well, it does make you feel good.
Yeah,
so
Casey,
where are you going to
Casey
work?
Casey dances when she's bad, dances when she's happy.
That's great.
Not bad when she's upset, dances when she's happy as well. Good kid, Casey King, this week's Kid of the Week. And she's eligible for the Kid of the Year honors as well. Stand by. Prizes for everybody except the people that work here. 646, back to Mary for your traffic trouble spots. And then we'll update you on what we know about the terrorist hit in Brussels, Belgium, this morning, local time there. Mary, what do you have?
Accident inbound on the Kennedy right before Hubbard's Cave. Right lane is blocked with that. It's up to 34 minutes in from the airport. The inbound Ike's up to an hour already from 5345 from Mannheim. Traveling the inbound Stevenson accident before First Avenue in the left lane. 40 minutes from the tri-state on end. Eden's not bad. Ryan's up to 20 from 95th. No big concerns yet on the tollways. Traffic sponsored by Jewel. Your local Jewel has the centerpiece for your Easter feast. Get Cook's spiral sliced ham for just $1.49 a pound. Limit one with $25 minimum purchase. Plus, get a one-pound package of strawberries for 99 cents. Limit four. Mary Vanderbilt, WGN Traffic Central.
Steve Cochran Show, number 613, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Texts and phone calls at 312-981-7200. Last night, our time, this morning, local time in Brussels, three explosions ripped through the Belgian capital, two at the airport, one at a train station. Very recent breaking news is the Royal Palace outside of Brussels has been evacuated as well. We don't know if that's out of an abundance of caution or if there's a reason to believe there was still another threat. Obviously, there are still people on the loose. There is a confirmed death toll of 15. There is believed to be at least 13 others who have died. That number is likely to go up, as it always does. 35 more reported injured so far. Lots of dramatic photos all over the internet this morning. It's just another one of those days and another one of those terrible days that makes you feel like, well, where do you go? What do you do? What do you do about it? And I guess over the course of the last 15 years since 9/11, I've given up on the notion to try to figure out why this happens. Because on the other side of the world, where people think it's okay to cut people's heads off and burn people alive in cages, there's no explaining it. And whatever indoctrination is done to make a healthy 21-year-old feel like the right way to heaven is to go out and kill innocent people who look like them, who are just getting up to go to work in the morning, I can't make sense of that. I don't think you can either. I do know that that mindset believes that we have killed their women and children, so they're now going to kill ours, being the collective Western culture. So this morning it happened again. And if you're traveling to Europe, you may not be. Call ahead, check, see what you know, if you know anything. The politics of this will roll out soon enough in this country. After last night, where there was a five-way candidate sit-down on CNN, obviously not talking about anything related to this because no one knew it was coming. President Obama still in Cuba, and the president appeared yesterday with the Cuban president, Raul Castro, who got very upset when one of CNN's reporters asked him about political prisoners and literally said, who? What political prisoners? Give me some names. You give me names, they'll be released. You give me names and we have them, they're out. So a very stern response there. Not entirely unexpected, but a unique exchange, if you will. And then the candidate spoke yesterday at the AIPAC meeting in Washington. And aside from pandering for the Jewish vote, there were, and Bernie Sanders, the only one that wasn't there live, there was a unanimous belief on the Republican side that the American embassy should be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and that the capital of Israel should be recognized at Jerusalem. Of course, the Palestinians would like to see it a different way. And Donald Trump, who previously said, I will never read off a teleprompter, did. And Donald Trump, who previously said he would not take sides but would try to make a deal for both sides, even though he's more Israel than anybody. He's the most Israel. Donald Trump said that he's 100% behind Israel in it and slammed the Palestinian government as well. In a speech that I have to say for him was quite mature. Even though it's a complete flip on what he said, it was quite mature. So that's a quick update on what happened politically yesterday. What happens politically today are votes in Arizona, Utah, and Idaho. There are caucuses in Idaho, primaries in Arizona and Utah. I'm sorry, caucuses in Utah, primaries in Arizona and Idaho. And those votes will go down today. They'll lose in the news cycle to the story out of Brussels for obvious reasons. But those votes are important to see if Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump continue to stretch out their lead. In Idaho, Cruz has an insurmountable lead, 50 or 60 points. In Arizona, Trump has an insurmountable lead. The rest will be decided later today. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head because it's all off the top of my head. If there's anything else I'm missing other than Rahm Emanuel, will be on the show in less than an hour, about 7:40 this morning, to talk about a number of things. Your Blackhawks update. You can win a Blackhawks experience courtesy of MB Financial Bank. Enter the Bank on the Blackhawks contest for your chance to get two tickets to see the team play Arizona on April 5th. You take a ride on the ice during intermission and a tour of the United Center before the game. Go to WGNradio.com/contest and enter for your chance to win. All thanks to MB Financial Bank. MB means business. Let's go to Mike Jacobson live in the production booth. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
You know, we're putting this together on the fly this morning because it's the typical breaking news sort of scenario, not like most times when you hear the words breaking news now. It actually is a breaking news scenario. Am I caught up on everything I need to do at this point?
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, good. Good meeting.
All right. Good talk. See you out there.
Talk to you later. Rob, next hour, also someone named Tim O'Brien, who's been on this show before. Tim O'Brien wrote a definitive book on Donald Trump quite some time ago, had unprecedented access to Trump, and can explain a little bit about the Trump fascination that America has, and also what he believes the real Donald Trump is actually like. Dean will be on later. We'll catch up on show business, at least in a limited edition, and Coach Q later as well. And then Alex Stone wrapping up the president's visit to Cuba. There's one other political thing that came up from yesterday, which was interesting, and we'll get into some details as time allows this morning, but President Clinton is considered to be a phenomenal campaigner, but a little bit dangerous if he's campaigning for you as opposed to himself. And yesterday, while campaigning for Hillary Clinton in Spokane, he seemed to knock President Obama in a pretty hard way. His aides say it was unintended. But here's the quote. If you believe we can rise together, if you believe we've finally come to the point where we can put the awful legacy of the last 8 years behind us, and 7 years before that, where we were practicing trickle-down economics, then you ought to vote for her. I don't know how you read that any other way than a slam on Obama, but the Clinton folks are trying to throw a little dirt on that and cover it up this morning. It's 7 o'clock, and this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
By now you've probably heard an attack in Brussels in Belgium, leaving the official count now at 15 dead and 11 injured. It's much higher than that, we know. But that's the official total so far. When three confirmed suicide bombers, those vests have apparently been found, two at the airport and one at a nearby metro station, relatively nearby, all blew themselves up and took out many others with them. As of now, no one has taken credit for it. CNN is reporting 26 dead and 130 injured. those numbers will change throughout the day, to be sure. We're waiting for a response from President Obama and other places around the world. Usually it's important to hear from the Prime Minister of the UK and also from Angela Merkel in Germany and various other places. What's this? You know, here's the upshot of that today in relation to the campaign here. You're going to hear, certainly on the Republican side, this is why we need to close our borders. You're going to hear on the Republican side, this is why Obama's done a terrible job, and this is why we're all in grave danger. There's grains of truth to everything in that goes with the immigration argument, but it's not as easily as going, see, that's what they do. So expect that part of the argument to come up today and come up today rather loudly, particularly from Trump and Cruz. The primaries today, again, Arizona and in Idaho, caucuses in Utah, and that vote will be under, because it's West, that vote will be underway closer to the end of the show, our time. At 7-Eleven, a couple of other things on the docket, if you will. The Blackhawks, Dave, have not given us any update on Corey Crawford, have they?
They have not. They didn't practice yesterday, although you may have just heard Judd say in his brief little scouting report there that Scott Darling is expected to start once again tonight.
And Michael Layton is backup?
Michael Layton is the backup. Yeah. Right. I assume, unless maybe Crawford's well enough to maybe back him up, but I guess we can ask Q that, and he can politely decline to answer.
I'm not going to talk about that. Q will be on about 8:40 this morning. John DeCausa's here. John, you and I will be at the Wilmette Theater on Saturday night, along with Andrea Darlis, if she chooses to come back from Arizona.
Arizona, right.
And Ross Cochran, my former son. And, no, I'm sorry, former assistant producer on the show.
I was going to say, I think he's still your son.
That's a good point. By the way, I had a good first day at the plant yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Working in the real world. Yeah.
Went okay.
Ross left the show last week to go and attack an all-new career in business and actually worked a 9-to-5 yesterday.
Did
and
he
I said,
lunch
how'd that feel?
Ah. Does he have to wear like a suit and tie and all that?
No, they're pretty casual. Mm-hmm. Not
Did
as
he
casual
shave?
As here. No, he still kept the beard. Because if you're between 20 and 30, you can have a beard.
Have
and
have
it's
beard,
fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Did he get a lunch hour? Because I know here he never did.
Yeah, I suppose he probably did.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
That's awesome.
So people who work 9-to-5 get lunch hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't stay long enough for that.
Eat while they talk like we do.
where was I? We're talking about
Wilmette Theater.
Oh, Wilmette Theater. Yeah. So we'll be there. Ross. Kevin
Powell,
who's still doing sports for Roe, but he's expected back on the show tomorrow. You say expected because, you know, you don't know until you know. And Andre, I already mentioned, and you and I doing stand-up on Saturday night at the Wilmette Theater.
Right, 7 o'clock, Wilmette Theater. You can go to wilmettetheater.com, or you can call the box office at 847-251-8710. And this is a beautiful downtown theater, very small, so it's a great intimate place to come and see the WGN Morning Show. By the way, I'm Mary Vandeveld, who is sitting next to me, and Dave Ennett will also be there in the audience. So you can actually touch them. You can go touch them.
And we know somebody.
Well, mm-hmm. Good for you.
Dave did ask if they have liquor there.
I didn't ask that.
Did.
No, I didn't ask that.
I thought I heard that.
That was like the only reason he was going to scalp two tickets and then drink, I think is what he said.
Yeah.
I'm not positive.
Now, are you concerned about Andrea not being funny? Is that why you wanted to drink?
Well, no. I think she'll be very funny. I'm looking forward to it.
We hope she
Mary
is
and I are
going to
sit
drink.
There. We're going to have cards with numbers.
Oh,
and
good.
And we're going to sit there and we're going to hold up the cards after each joke by Andrea.
You've never been to a comedy show, have you?
Laugh.
You mean you don't do that?
No, scoring them like an ice skating thing usually won't work that well.
Okay.
At what point did we point to Dave and go, we need an update?
We could probably bring Dave up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look.
I do this magic thing.
Too bad, Dave.
We did not sign up.
I do this magic thing at the end of the show, Dave, where I put you in three boxes, cut you into pieces, and spin the boxes around.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
So. Now, meanwhile, while all this is going on, you can get tickets again, Hal?
You can go to thewilmettetheater.com or go to the box office or contact the box office at 847-251-8710.
And John is growing his YouTube channel every single day John's YouTube channel is becoming very big. There's basically two stars now on YouTube. There's the guy that plays video games, and you pay to watch him, or you support his sponsors who made $10 or $12 million last year. I don't know his name. It doesn't matter what his name is. But I do know John DeCosta's name. And, John, you do stuff on YouTube as well. The original goal here was to make you famous on YouTube so you could leave the show.
Yeah, or to get advertisers that would then ask
that's
me
not
to.
Happen. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, actually, Tom's Plumbing called me.
Oh, he did?
Well, they're working at the house.
Okay, so it had nothing to do with this conversation.
I thought it was. I'm like, yay.
Yeah, he thought it was a sponsor, but it actually is just
I had
clog.
Issues. Yeah.
All right, so here's the thing. You have 20 videos uploaded now on your YouTube channel. What's the YouTube channel called?
It is called Today in DeCause.
How do you spell today? T-O-D-A-Y-I-N. How do you spell DeCause?
D-A-C. Oh, man. D-A. Capital C-O-S-S-E.
D-A-C-O-S-S-E.
Yeah.
All right, so if you go to YouTube and you search that, you'll get your channel.
Right.
Now, I want you to go through the videos on the channel. Just give me, like, the first five.
Do you want the last five or the first five?
Either one.
Okay. Because the last one we just put on was Friendly Persuasion.
And what is that?
That's where I have a list of things to do, and I don't have time to do it, and I somehow con all my friends to do all my to-do list.
That's very good. It's very good. Yeah,
that
I'm looking forward
really
to seeing
well.
That.
Yeah, that was
a lot of
good.
Dramatic arc for the character there.
Yes. Yes.
All right, give me another one.
Wardrobe changes. on hold with customer service. That's
so this is literally just you on hold with customer service.
Yeah, it's like it takes forever.
That's a good video.
Yeah.
Video three?
Video three, remotely immobile.
What does that mean?
That's where I have about six remotes, and I don't know which one actually controls the TV.
Yeah,
call my wife. She tells me it's in the kitchen, and then I ask her, hey, if you're coming home, could you come through the kitchen? Because I don't want to get off the couch.
It really does. There's a medical condition related to this, which creates immobility if you can't find your remote. You will lay there. Have you done this thing where you're looking for, like, a long stick of some kind? Like, let's say the remote is 15 feet away, and you're still on the couch. You're not going to get up and get the remote or look for it. You're just going to hope for someone to come home, as you said. Or have you ever done the thing where you rolled over and you felt the remote was under your leg and it was like Christmas morning? Those are the things you're looking for. All right, give me another one.
I was going to say with the remote, though, how many times have we gotten up to actually search for it? That takes about 5 minutes when we could have just walked over to the TV.
Yeah, and you're done.
Yeah, but
you're
no, done. We're not going to do that.
But you don't know where the switch is on the TV. Anyway.
No, actually, that's true. I don't even know where it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
but once you two make excuses. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah. Video four.
Little Diva gets dinero from DeCause. That was the little girl who
got money
brought,
from you.
Yeah, she got money. She brought her report card, and we had a deal. She would get rewarded. She took all the money and left me with a dollar.
Who is the child?
It's Isla Vicari. Okay. So she was adorable. And by the way, she also was in Incredibly Gymtastic, which is another one of mine.
These are hired actresses for John for the videos.
Yes.
And give me a fifth one.
The fifth one would be Best Lip Sync Ever.
Oh, I think that's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Now, we're looking for a listener to join you on the channel, which you would screen, and then you'll post their video.
Yeah, let's do that. I think that's a really good idea.
So if you have crap you do all day that really shouldn't be interesting to anybody else, you could send it to us. Just, you can do it on Twitter. Just send it to me at Cochran Show, and then we'll go from there. But I really salute what you're doing here. This is fine work.
You left out my favorite. Puppy prize.
Oh, puppy prize, yes.
What was puppy prize?
Puppy prize is where I am being very nice. And yes, that's right. I thought the dog had an accident, and it turned out it was not the dog that had the accident.
This could go in the wrong direction really quickly.
No. But that was good. That was, yes.
All right, the dog's cute.
The dog is adorable.
Well, you two terrified. Can talk about it. Yeah. That's great.
But I didn't come here tonight to pander to you about Israel. That's what politicians do. All talk, no action, believe me. The Palestinians must come to the table knowing that the bond between the United States and Israel is absolutely, totally unbreakable. They must come to the table willing to accept that Israel is a Jewish state and it will forever exist as a Jewish state.
7:23, hard to argue that was Trump's best speech of the campaign. Tim O'Brien knows him better than you and I do. Probably knows him better than his family does. Tim O'Brien had unprecedented access when he wrote Trump Nation. How good was the book? So good, Trump sued him over it. And Tim joins us again. Good morning, Mr. O'Brien.
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to talk to you. What was your take on the AIPAC speech? Did you see it?
I listened to it, or I read a transcript of it. I didn't see it live. But I think, you know, it's interesting because it's very typical of Donald Trump's malleable ability to straddle multiple positions on the same issue simultaneously. You know, he's said since the beginning of the campaign that he feels the United States is overexposed militarily overseas, that we spend too much of our federal budget on foreign aid, that we need to essentially disengage abroad. But then when he's in front of you know, a pro-Israel group in Washington, he affirmatively says we'll engage in whatever way necessary to support Israel in the Middle East. And he really can't have it both ways. We're either engaged in the Middle East or we're not. And when he has, you know, AIPAC in front of him, he'll speak about deep engagement. But in the weeks prior, everything he said has been about disengaging overseas.
Yeah, you remember the old Woody Allen movie Zelig, where Zelig would turn into whatever he needed to turn into in the room to be comfortable?
Yes.
He's like a loud, obnoxious version of Zelig. You know, every time I see him, I think, well, okay, then here's what he's going to say now because this is what he needs to say. It's going to be interesting to see how he follows up his talk of abandoning NATO and you know, essentially becoming an isolationist country, which was a large part of the AIPAC speech and comments leading up to it, based on what happened in Brussels this morning.
Well, the other interesting thing is how wildly ill-informed he is. You know, he gave it's online now. He met with the Washington Post editorial board yesterday, and they published the whole transcript last night online. And he's talking about this issue of assistance overseas, and he rails against how the United States is getting ripped off by the countries we provide funding to and the countries we back militarily. And in the middle of this interview with the editorial board, he said we spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year overseas. And that's just factually incorrect. I think our overseas spending is around $30 to $40 billion, and about a third of that is military assistance.
Uh-huh.
And the editorial board says to him, hundreds of billions? And he goes, well, billions. And the fact is, he doesn't know what the number is.
It's really stunning. I mean, it's stunning. You know, John Oliver this week on his HBO show, which is pretty terrific, by the way. John Oliver showed a series of video clips about the wall and the cost of the wall. And in the video clips, he began with it'll cost $10 billion. Unless you know what you're doing, you can get it done for $4 billion. And in the next three clips, the price went from $8 to $10 to $12 billion. In fact, we know it'll be 2 to 6 times that. But again, it's what you started out with, the essential premise here, and what you know from all the time you spent with him. He'll say what he needs to say when he needs to say it.
I think, you know, and I think he's learned over the years that he can get away with it. One of the things we've seen in this campaign so far is that he can repeatedly lie in the same week multiple times about different subjects, and he does it with such volume and rapidity that by the time the media is caught up with fact-checking the last thing he said that was wrong or false, that there's 10 new things to fact-check, and no one can keep up with him. And it's really an unprecedented spree of misinformation in a national political campaign. I mean, we know that people on both sides of the aisle have historically misrepresented themselves or their opponents' records. But Donald Trump brings a sort of a grand mal, operatic, and crazy man sensibility to all of this. It's very, you know, it's very unprecedented.
Yeah, and the thing that really saves him again and again and again is force of character. Because if you're lying to me, Tim, and I know you're lying, and I challenge you on the line, but you get in my face over the fact that I challenged you, too many times the human response to that would be, because I'm a decent person, I would just say, okay, well, I'm not getting into this argument. And the media tends to do that as well. They'll take 2 or 3 swings at him, and then they'll back down.
Well, one of the interesting things, though, is that people don't follow up with him on the fact pattern. You know, regardless of where any of us are ideologically or what parties we're in, there's a fact pattern surrounding Donald Trump that the media and his political opponents haven't really zeroed in on. I think a great example of this was during the debates at one point when Jeb Bush was still in the race, and he accused Trump of being, which is true, a serial bankruptcy artist. You know, he had four corporate bankruptcies. And Jeb Bush brings this up, and Trump's response is, well, those bankruptcies were good for me. I was using the laws. I did something that every business person in the United States does, and there was nothing wrong with that, and it was a smart thing to do, and I benefited from it. And Bush let it go at that. And what he should have followed up on was, while those bankruptcies might have been good for you, they weren't good for your investors, they weren't good for your employees, they weren't good for Atlantic City, they weren't good for the pensioners that had bonds in your companies. There were a lot of people who were hurt by those bankruptcies. And I think part of what we've seen with him is that I think in the early days, people didn't follow up with him on these things because they saw him as a carnival act last summer. Then he got traction, and people challenged him, but challenged him in an ill-informed way. And I think now, finally, you've got people really starting to hold him accountable for the facts.
You know, if you go with the thought that the far right and the far left are locked in, they're going to vote who they're going to vote for, the vast middle that still is not engaged in this thing or is trying hard not to be will catch up on this stuff as they catch up. We're a headline-reading culture. What's the effect of all of this going to be? And is it the field is so bad that Trump, even as a lion scheming Donald Trump, is still appealing to a lot of people in the middle?
I don't know if he's appealing to people in the middle. I just don't know at the end of the day if that's who his base is. I think he's got a base of people, you know, primarily blue collar white males who are understandably angry and afraid about the trajectory of the economy. And I think he plays into those fears in the worst sort of ways, you know, with anti-immigrant sentiment, with build a wall sentiment, with the world's out to get us sentiment. And rather than take on those needs and fears in a more constructive way, which, as we've done historically in the country, is to try to deliver good public services to people and have the private sector create jobs. And he's really not in a position to offer those sort of solutions because he hasn't bothered to try to study any of them.
Where's the best place to keep up with you these days, Tim O'Brien?
I'm at the executive editor of Bloomberg U and Bloomberg Gadfly, their political commentary and business sites.
And follow you on social anywhere, or is that good enough for now?
I'm at Tim O'Brien on Twitter, Steve.
Spell O'Brien so people know.
O-B-R-I-E-N.
It's great stuff as always. I hope we can talk again.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
I appreciate it. Tim O'Brien, great source on Donald Trump and a very reasonable source on Trump. Look at a secure financing, author of Trump Nation, by the way. Look at a secure financing on a new home or refinance the one you have. You need to call David Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. And when you do, you get customer service, market knowledge, and low closing costs. That's what makes David one of the country's top producing loan officers. David's team of experienced loan officers is committed to helping you, your friends, your family, your coworkers. If you complete an online application with mortgage companies touting digital technology, someone with limited knowledge from a hotbox call center returns your call. When you complete an online application at WGNDavid.com, either David or one of his experienced pros next to him call and answer your questions personally. Technology is only as good as the experienced loan officer you work with when you hit submit. And if you want to work with an experienced loan officer who appreciates and values your business, you need to call David now, 312-751-1333, or go to WGNDavid.com. He's helped thousands of WGN listeners, but he can't help you if you don't call 312-751-1333 or WGNDavid.com for Pearl Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee 4358, NMLS number, zibbity doo-da. And it used to be under. Oh, there it is, 19186. And well, the phone number again is 312-751-1333. Zippity doo-dah is not actually a part of
this. I didn't think so, no.
Quick break. Back with the big story next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
15 dead in the subway attack, 11 dead at the airport so far. That's the number coming out of Brussels this morning. Mary mentioned earlier how small Belgium is as a country, Brussels is a city, but like so much of Europe so tightly packed. And, you know, you look at population numbers, and Joliet or Rockford are only slightly smaller than Brussels. You know, in context, it's probably not a fair comparison, but it's remarkable.
Yeah,
it's just remarkable how much attention is focused on what it is, you know, is the center of Europe. And we'll see what sort of political comments come out of that today. But in a world of bad news, I'd like first to begin with Mayor Rahm Emanuel on some good news. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Doing all right. I want to talk to you about the world in a second, but before we do that,
You sure?
Yeah, no, I need some good news. I need a break. Yeah. I need a little something good about our city. So what do you have in relation to the parks and things this morning?
Well, we're laying out what I call building on Burnham, Daniel Burnham, and the city in a garden. And it's a vision that, you know, literally from our making sure that our two waters, our lakefront and our river, increase the quality of life in the city. And so along the lake, we're going to have finished the flyover. We're going to break up bike and running paths into two distinct areas between 31st and 51st and Ohio and Fullerton. And then, as I like to say, in the other areas, we're going to repave 7 miles of it, and we're going to put markers north and south, but also then kind of a softer ground on the side for runners, or as I refer to people who still think they're 20-year-old,
right?
20-year-old, but they have 50-year-old knees and joints. So there's that. But then there's also, you know, we'll have completed the fourth boathouse, the river walk from literally Lake Michigan all the way to Lake Street. You're going to be able to go direct, and then about every mile on the north and south branch, there's going to be public access and recreational use of the river. And Chicago will be unique with two waterfronts, distinct waterfronts, that are there for recreational and quality of life. And I think the river could be our next great recreational park. Then we're going to add, by the year 2020, we will have 2,020 acres of nature preserve.
So this is access to them. This is access to the river like we've never had before.
Mm-hmm. There's more canoeing, more kayaking, more sculling. You know, 100 years ago, the river, when Daniel Burnham wrote his plan, was all about industrial traffic. I closed the last two coal-fired power plants, so industrial use of the river dramatically dropped. And then it started to come back as a recreational place. And now we have three operating, and then by the fall, four boathouses, one continuous riverwalk downtown. We're going to have the first ever, wait till you see the picture, bridge east-west extending the river, where you're going to be able, just for pedestrian traffic, you'll be able to run along the river, new parks along the river, and every mile, there'll be a new, approximately every mile, on the north-south branch, you'll have new access. And the river will become a recreational park. And just by way, there is more river property than there is lakefront property in the city. When you come to Calumet.
Is that right? I was not aware of that.
So the front yard, which is what our lake is, we're going to make major improvements, not just in the running and bike paths, but also a new music shell in Montrose, rock climbing down in the Southworks, a pool and party area at 31st Street Harbor, a triathlon staging area. So there'll be all types of improvements in public art on the lake. And then the river, rather than being cut off as if it's a separate entity, will be integrated into the neighborhood quality of life. And then we're going to have extensive new programming for kids. Just in the last 4 years, every season, winter, fall, spring, and summer, every season, there's been about doubling of usage over the last 4 years. The municipal app for the Chicago Park District is the most downloaded app of any municipal government in the United States.
Well, what do we know about the city we love, right? We know that once the weather breaks, we can't wait to get outside and stay outside as much as possible. So I salute you and everybody on the team for getting it done. Now, how are we getting it paid for?
Well, we're going to put a new tax on those who listen to WGN Radio.
That seems right. That seems right. That's a good start.
First of all, look, you know, in my first term, we rebuilt all 325 standalone playgrounds, every one of them. And I say that is very valuable because Amy and I bought our house because there was a pocket playground right on our house, right down the street. We built the equivalent of five new Millennium Parks in the city, Big Park at Little Village, 606, Northern Islands, Westridge, Maggie Daly. That's tremendous improvement, all to pay for. And we put about $40 million of capital in every year in our parks, and we're going to continue to do that, which will be the core piece. But, you know, like the Paseo I announced in Sunday down in Pilsen, we'll use TIF resources. There's state resources. There's private raising of resources. The bike march down in Calumet, which is 278 miles of nature preserve and mountain biking, SRAM, the bike manufacturer, is a big player in helping us put the resources together. So it will be assortment, but it will all get done like we did the first term.
So after what happened overnight and into this morning, do you get a call this morning, and do you have to look at changing the city's security stance? How does that work for us?
Well, first of all, before you do, I mean, I got notified as soon as it happened. And then I talked to, you know, there's no credible, let me first be, there's no credible threat to Chicago here or Midway. Obviously, you leave that to the intelligence and security experts. You probably, in situations like this, will be adding some visibility from a security standpoint. But I want to reassure everybody there's no credible threat. And obviously, all of us, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the families and affected ones in Brussels. But that's what, you know, you do. And there's no, everybody's a little more heightened, but you got to be cognizant of the fact that there's, based on any intelligence, no credible threat to the city of Chicago's transportation system or aviation system.
Yeah, and you know, every time one of these horrific incidents happens, I can't help but go backwards in time and go, no news is good news. And that while this happens around the world, the amazing security systems that have been set up and reinforced since 9/11 and have been able to very quietly make sure that we haven't had one of these in our city, that we haven't had another attack like this. I know there have been attacks, but it's amazing how secure we have been.
No, look, I mean, there's no doubt about that. And one of the things that, you know, but I will say that is true, but we have to be cognizant. We do a lot of run-throughs.
Right.
We also have the Office of Emergency Management, OEMC, on the Western Loop side, where we do tabletop exercises. And it's key to be, while you are right, you have to be vigilant. And all of us, and it's not just on the security, every one of us have to be vigilant in our operation and how we approach the world. And we're also going to have to be cognizant of the world's changing around us. When it comes to security, my first objective is obviously to protect our residents from gun violence on the south and west side, where its preponderance and dominance is. But as it relates to terrorism, we have been blessed, at least, you know, since, let's say, 9/11, nothing. But we got to remain vigilant, and we always got to be exercising integrating police, fire, and other types of security apparatus into protecting the city of Chicago.
And you want to remind people, too, you know, call the police when you're suspicious about stuff, because your block is what you're watching. And, you know, you don't have to give people your name. Give them a tip. If the tip turns out to be nothing, it's nothing. But at least you made the call.
Yeah. It makes me want to go back and just give my park speech again one more time.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
But I do want to say, you know, you touched on something. You know, a lot of people, you know, identify their neighborhood by their park or their playground.
Right.
Some recreational element. And we are so fortunate. We take so much because this is our landscape for granted. But, you know, we have about 1,400 acres in the city of Nature Preserve. We're unique in Northern Ireland downtown. We have 40 acres of unique nature preserve up on Western Peterson, the West Ridge. When I opened that, and we a 20-acre nature preserve, a hawk flew off. And so we're unique as a city from our soccer fields, our football fields, our parks, our lakefront. Now our river is going to become a space we never even could imagine just 10 years ago for recreation. But you'll be canoeing and kayaking. And that makes the quality of life in our neighborhoods and for all our residents really something unique in our urban setting. And I would also say, while and one of the things I'm desirous, you know, I can, and Steve, I'm sure this is true for you, I can take my kids out west. I can take them to Michigan or Wisconsin for hikes and activities. A lot of kids never even make it to Lake in the city.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
So by putting all these efforts, you'll be able to go on a nature walk all the way on the south side in Calumet area, or on the north side of Westridge, along different parts of the lakefront. We'll have 2,000 acres where you're going to see, you can do things with your parents and your grandparents, and those are, you know, so invaluable experiences, and provide our kids the experiences that the country provides right here at their front door in the city by never having to leave the city of Chicago.
Well, that's the thing that drives me crazy when, you know, you look around the country, you see national news about Chicago and they report on, these bad headlines, when you and I both know that there are terrible pockets in any major city that you have to work on to make those communities better. But this city is thriving. And even with the mess in Springfield and the mess in trying to pay for stuff, this is the great city. So we got to start feeling better about it.
The music to my ears. I always say, look, we got challenges. Everybody has challenges. And they're serious challenges because in parts of the south side and west side, they're life threats. But we also have adjacent. And our goal is to make sure everybody experiences all parts of the greatness of the city of Chicago. But we have great strengths as a city. We love our city. We have people that are, you know, wear their passion for the city on their sleeve. We are great people, even in the parts of Englewood and a very difficult neighborhood, who are making their neighborhood better. And our parks, our libraries, our schools, our lakefront, our river, are tremendous quality of life improvements. And we have to invest in that future. We have to give everybody a chance at that future.
Yeah, and the cowards with guns in these neighborhoods are not the story. It's the 99% of people in those neighborhoods that are trying to have the same thing you have in Naperville and in Lake Forest and everywhere else.
Look, and there's a lot of parts of the city that are as safe as those cities, but there are other parts and that are not. But that's why, what's the largest after-school program in the city of Chicago?
I don't know. Do I win anything if I get it right?
No. Our park district.
Well, there you go.
What's the largest summer jobs program for youth in Chicago? Our park district. What's the largest recreational center for the city of Chicago? Our park district. And so when you think about it from economics, you think about it from recreation, you think about it from keeping kids safe, our park district is integral. And that to the quality of life we want to see and the opportunities we want to see for everybody. And I would just say to you, and it makes Chicago, you know, if you live in Manhattan, you got to go find, you got to go all the way up to Central Park to find one open space.
And it ain't that open, depending on the weather.
Well, it's always, thanks, Steve, for showing it. And this is, I'll send a copy over. And
yeah, please do that. And I'll let you go on this, but what's a timeline on a new super? Any idea?
Look, here's my view. I just got the names.
Yep.
Been doing my interviews and thinking about it. And talking to some past superintendents in the city of Chicago, seeking their advice and counsel, and we'll continue to do that. And a decision. While I'm eager to get the person hired and have them hit the ground running, I'm not going to rush it just to rush it. And we have to, you know, we have a challenge here because our police do great work. They're great men and women who put their lives on the line every day. They answer calls. You know, right now, as you and I are on the phone, there's an officer or multiple responding to a 911 call.
Sure.
You never read about it. You never hear about it. They're doing their job great. And we have to support them when they do good work, hold them up. Now, those that are not will hold accountable. But the lion's share of our department has to be held up for their great work. And the challenge right now is they feel, you know, put upon in the sense that everybody is blaming them. Where an individual officer does not uphold the standards we want to see, we'll hold them accountable.
Right.
But I'm telling you, these officers every day are out there doing their job, and, you know, they are doing it well, and we need to support them when they do their job well with the same vigor. That when an individual officer does not do their job, we're going to be very clear about that as well. I would just say I'm going to evaluate this, think about it. There's pluses and minuses, and then I'll make my decision.
Appreciate your time. Enjoy the day.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Mayor Rahm Emanuel on a number of things there, including the fact, and most importantly for the news of the day, that there is no credible threat to the city of Chicago and no change in Chicago security status, other than if you're flying out of O'Hare or Midway, wherever today, you may see some additional authorities there, additional law enforcement folks, over what you would see on any other day, all related to the terrorist attack on Brussels overnight. More details on that with Steve in the news coming up on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah, baby. 34 dead, 170 plus now, according to CNN, injured in the terrorist attack in Brussels. We get an update from Brad Garrett from ABC News. Coming up in just a few moments, he's finishing up a TV hit, and then he should be with us. The politics of the day are primaries and caucuses in Arizona, Utah, and Idaho. And Ted Cruz, heavy favorite in Utah. I think he's ahead by a million points. It's a lot of points, but I think that's the number. Meanwhile, Trump is expected to win in a runaway in Arizona. Hillary Clinton yesterday was amongst those who spoke at the big AIPAC meeting in Washington. And it's funny when you look at the coverage of all of the speeches, all of the candidates who also appeared on CNN last night were either accused of blatant pandering or accused of making the greatest speeches of their lives. So, as always, it depends on your viewpoint. Coach Q later this hour, and Q will update us on the goalie situation. And also where them Hawks are with, how many games left, Dave? 12, 15?
9 games left.
So 9 then total.
Yeah.
So not 12 or 15.
Not 12 or 15. I will update you a little bit on the schedule ahead on our Hawkopedia later this morning.
All right. So we got a lot to do. And in lieu of Dean with the seriousness of the morning, we want to talk to Brad Garrett at ABC News to get an update. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Good morning.
What is the latest from your vantage point?
Well, that this coordinated attack of both the metro system, their subway system, and the airport, you know, has all the earmarks, obviously, of ISIS or ISIS-inspired. My guess is driven partly by the arrest of Abdul Salim last week, and probably some of his associates are likely candidates that committed this act.
There's been some hand-wringing this morning in some of the early reporting about the way Brussels may have handled the arrest and the news of the arrest getting out the way he did. And was there some sort of signal sent? Or is this also possibly as simple as there was concern that Abdul Salim might talk? And if these people were going to act, they had to act quickly.
I think all of the above has got some possibility that, yes, could it have been a signal? Maybe. Are they concerned that he was going to talk about who they are and that they decided maybe prematurely to launch some attacks because they fear of getting caught? All of the above is, I think, quite possible.
Can you explain to folks why Brussels is so important to this terrorism network?
Yes, because the Molenbeek is a community that has a lot of extremist disenfranchised folks. Many of them have traveled to Iraq or Syria to fight with ISIS, been trained, they come back. The borders, at least until recently, were easy to move back and forth. And I don't know exactly why, the Belgian authorities have not been able to keep a better lid on what goes on there, but they clearly have not. I don't know if it's this, this over the years, this sort of feeling or outlook that you let, immigrant populations do their own thing, develop together, et cetera. Maybe. All I know is that they have a problem on their hands that's insurmountable, that they don't even know all the bad players they have living in that neighborhood and other neighborhoods, and that's the big fear. When's the next attack, and where is it going to occur, et cetera?
How does a civilized society fight a no-snitch policy like there are in these neighborhoods?
Extremely, extremely difficult. I mean, the real problem is that you have basically not a decent informant network beyond just sort of the everyday snitches that you might have. They give you information. A big, big problem in Europe and maybe even to a certain extent neighborhoods in the U.S. is if you don't have law enforcement that fits basically the ethnic profile of the people you're dealing with, language, et cetera, then you've got big problems. And I think it's clearly been a problem in Brussels and in other communities.
Last question before I let you go. The it's not hard to draw a line between the way this terrorist attack went down and what happened in Paris. If these are proven to be the same groups, is there a particular sect they're tied to, whether it's ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or a splinter of those?
Could be all of the above. My guess is it's probably all ISIS tied some way. But, you know, these are not linear lines. These are not people that are, like, readily connected. We cannot think about this, I guess, in the realm of how we used to think about Al-Qaeda and its hierarchy, or even if you want to compare it to organized crime and its hierarchy of people in charge. I mean, this is very loose. You know, there's affiliations. Some people may not even be directly tied. This may be aspirational. I mean, it is potentially a nightmare for the police in various communities to figure out what they really have.
Appreciate the time. Nice work as always. Thank you, Brad.
Take care.
Brad Garrett, ABC News, security, terrorism. That's his beat, and he is as good as he gets on it. As is Micah Halpern in a different vein. Micah Halpern wrote a book called Thugs, and he knows the world's bad guys better than we do, and that's a good thing. And Micah Halpern can speak to motive and why this has happened and how big a threat Brussels is to everybody else. The border to France was closed. I would assume Brussels is probably largely existing as an, or I should say Belgium is probably largely existing as an island as much as that is possible, until they try to figure out who's there and who may be trying to leave. If they do leave, the question is, where do they go? Because they aren't even identified at this point. And when Abdel Salim, the last of the living Paris attackers, was only a block away, how do we know who's in or out of country going forward? No flights from Chicago, New York, anywhere in the United States to Brussels for obvious reasons going forward. All right, 8:17. Mary, what do we have from you? Traffic locally. Oh, and I suppose after all that, we should say again, as Mayor Emanuel said about a half hour ago, no discernible or legitimate threat to Chicago this morning. Just probably stepped up security at the airports if you're going there.
You're listening to Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
It appears two suicide bombers at the airport in Brussels, Belgium, one at a train station where the majority so far appear to have died, and it's another major terrorist attack in Europe. Our friend Micah Halpern knows more about the bad guys in the world than anybody. I don't know how you sleep at night. With your knowledge of bad guys, I don't know how you ever get a good night's sleep. But you can follow Micah. And good morning to you. You can follow Micah and just Google Micah Halpern for all things Micah, MICAHHALPERN. Who are these guys? Are they the same guys as we saw operate in Paris?
Well, no one has claimed responsibility, but it's logical to assume that the same group of people whose leader was arrested in a shootout only a few days ago, and then has been under arrest since he was injured in the shootout since Sunday. And he himself said in interrogation that I have created other cells in Belgium. And this is exactly what we're talking about. This is Brussels cells. We're talking about those cells being let loose, so to speak. It doesn't take a lot of training and a lot of coordination, but it takes some. And it seems like he succeeded in doing that. It's a devastating attack. These two centers are linked to people who are going in and out of the country, both locally and internationally. The train station actually goes straight to the airport to the train station, and the train station all around the country and straight into France. I've used it numerous times. So that's what you do.
They're about 6 miles apart, and as you say, this is not the highest level of thinking that it takes to do this. But again, we've got otherwise healthy 20-something men who appear to have taken their own lives, and it comes down to the question we always ask in this country, for what? To what end? So what do you say to people listening this morning? And I know we've talked about it before, but what do you say to people listening that go, why? What good have you done by killing innocent people?
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. It goes against most of our normal assumptions. And we assume, oh, they have nothing to live for. Oh, they're from the poor and impoverished. Oh, they're totally uneducated. Oh, this or that. It's, oh, they're they're religious maniacs. So they say, and our investigation of the of those that were involved in the Paris terrorist attacks, which we're going to just assume is in the, we are assuming now it's just in by extrapolation, is the same group of people, or at least a subgroup of those same people, but not the case. And so the guy who was captured this weekend owned a bar with his brother, who was a part of the terrorist attack. So they were from a upper middle class community. They were well educated. This is not the case. That people have nothing to live for. They were not religious maniacs. They're in the bar, for Pete's sake. You're not supposed to have a bar if you're a religious Muslim.
Right.
So you have a whole overlapping of nuanced ideas, which are monodimensional, which we in America would like everything to be black and white, good and evil, right and wrong. And that's not the case here. What they've done is, though, they've certainly grabbed onto a very important element in terms of their own pride, the pride of who they are and what they want to achieve and everything else. And that is a massive defense of what they stand for. And it's very important to put that into a proper perspective, which means most of these people are not being recruited in their mosques, which Americans always say, oh, it's the mosques, it's the mosques. No, it's not the mosques. It's the Internet. I know that sounds weird because the Internet is so good also, right? You can even listen to you on the Internet.
Right, anywhere in the world.
So good. Right. So you can, it's great on the one hand, but also has some really evil and ugly parts about it. And I'm not even talking about the dark web. I'm not even talking
No, you're talking about the basic Internet, your Facebook account, all of it. So here's the question that I think is an extension of the one I asked before, and that is, in a world where two brothers can own a bar who clearly don't subscribe to the most fundamental views of radical Islam, what turns them? What turns them? What changes them into this?
So do they become radical Muslimists or Islamists? You know, to do this? No, not necessarily. So they don't suddenly become, and that's one of the signs we see in the United States also, look out for people who've, you know, become extremists in their religion. No, that's not necessarily the case here. We're talking about people who were even still involved in their party lives. So a young woman that was involved in the shootout in Brussels last month, where she was a part of that same group, was a party animal, a university student. And she was in university, she was a party animal. She didn't convert to this extremist phenomenon. No, it's not only a religious phenomenon. It's not just whether or not you pray five times a day. It's about an envelopment of a concept of a meaning in life which is beyond simply who you are. And that's what they're drawn into. They're drawn into a collective. They're drawn into a community. In many ways, there's a cultish phenomenon to it, which is where ISIS is so successful. So when we worry about ISIS Americans and Europeans going off to join ISIS in Syria and Iraq, my biggest worry is not that. Let them be killed there. You know,
right.
My worry is when they come back, if they get on the, or if they come back to recruit, or worse, if they become come on their Facebook pages and their Snapchat and their Instagrams and these other kinds of things where young kids get onto. They don't get onto Facebook, by the way. No one I know under the age of 25 is on Facebook. They're getting onto these systems and they're recruiting from there. And that's really scary.
Is it true that we are now beyond a point where there will be no centralized leadership for ISIS or Al-Qaeda of the bin Laden vein that we can chase down and get to make a difference because they're all fractionalized like big city street gangs?
I've heard a lot of this argument over the last 9 months, 10 months, and the answer is yes and no. There was certainly a hierarchy in Syria and Iraq, which is a hierarchy if you challenge you will be killed. Absolutely. A group of Danish volunteers challenged the hierarchy, and they were executed, okay? So that should be very clear. However, their networks over here, abroad, I should say, their networks abroad are much more loosely connected. And as a result, they're there to wreak havoc, and that's very, very different, and to recruit. And so it's very, very different. And you don't just sort of join and sign on the line like in Al-Qaeda. You really had to be vetted. Here, you just click online, and as soon as you're a part of the system, the communication system, you're part of what's going on. And that's exactly the case with regard to these groups that we're seeing emerging in Europe.
Talking to Micah Halpern, just Google Micah Halpern, M-I-C-A-H-H-A-L-P-E-R-N, and get expert takes on everything related to the worst people in the world, as Micah has more knowledge of this than anyone I know and is a great resource for us. Before I let you go, it sounds to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like being a hero in your neighborhood of believers is all it takes. You don't have to go to Syria or Iraq to die. If you die for the, quote, cause in your neighborhood, you've done your job in your view.
Actually, not just done your job. You've actually increased the potential for recruits for people to go out and fight, both locally and in Syria and Iraq. These are huge successes for ISIS, huge successes, especially because the leader and organizer was already under arrest, which means the ripple is already put in place. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's huge. You know, you say all the time, cut off the head of the serpent, okay, and you stop the problem. No, that's not the case. Serpent's head was cut off, and they still perpetrated these attacks.
It's remarkable. It's depressing, and it's fascinating in how we need to study it and attack it. And Micah, you're an important piece of this story, so I appreciate it. At Micah Halpern all over social media, M-I-C-A-H-H-A-L-P-E-R-N. Thank you, sir. Back with the big story in a moment. I guess you know what that is, and then Coach Q coming up on 720 WGN. It's the Coach Q Show, sponsored by Hooters. I've looked under chairs. I've looked under tables. I try to find the key to 50 million fables. Hooters, the original wing joint. The Who, Coach Q's favorite band. And a special guest, Dave Bennett, today with Coach Q coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Oh, really?
We don't normally do a guest with Coach Q, but today we're going to make an exception. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Great. How you guys doing?
All right. Nice talking to you as always. Everything okay in your world?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later. all right. So goalie situation. Any update on Crawford?
No change.
Okay. And how do you bring a guy like Leighton in when there's limited practices and stuff? Does he work like separately with a goalie coach, or how does he stay sharp?
Well, he's been, he's been playing all year, and they've been sharp. These guys get work after practice, and they see enough pucks. And he's been experienced. He's been around a long time. They get days off down in Rockford as well. So he's.
You feel like he's in a groove if needed.
He's more than ready.
Okay, you don't have a time like in the dressing room where you just throw stuff at him and see if he's paying attention.
Well, goalies, you got to be careful. They're a little different. You know that.
they're a tad on the sensitive side. A fine game the other night, but then a frustrating ending, which really, from my vantage point, didn't have anything to do with goaltending. You, the Lion King, you keep trying to mix it up in different things, but you got to be frustrated because you got the team. It's just the numbers aren't there.
Well, we're having a hard time winning games here. So we had some great looks as the game went on. We missed, some break. We missed opportunities, have clear chances to shoot and odd man situations that we didn't even get shots away. So that was a little disappointing in that area. But you get it to overtime, and you got to kill a penalty, and you got to shoot out, and get three shots, and you don't score. So some nights in those situations, you don't really deserve to win.
Do you look, Joel, at when you had, say, a couple of games ago, you had a 5-on-3 for almost 2 minutes, didn't score. The other night, you have the 4-minute man advantage and don't score. What the statistics tell you about when you don't score in those types of situations, how it affects the outcome of the game?
Well, with both games, we're early in the game, and right off the bat, L.A., you got a 5-on-3. You don't score. You lose a lot of the momentum, and then the next day, you got a 4-minute power play against Minnesota. Right off the bat, you don't take advantage. And so certainly, it's almost like as a road team, you sustain a great big kill. They get gives them a big lift, and you lose that advantage. And in both cases, we didn't end up coming up with the win. So, you like to get on them early. You like to get off to a fast start at home, and you like to get your power play going right off the bat. And most of the year, it's been very effective, and right now it's a little quieter. But that's part of the ups and downs of special teams.
Last game you'll play in the regular season against Dallas, and given the fact that it's this time of year and this is one of the teams that is ahead of you, does the urgency get cranked up a little bit tonight for this one?
I think we've been in this mode here for the last couple of weeks here. Every game, it seems like it's very important. A lot of implications as far as positioning here and and knowing we're trying to move ahead. So, if we, you know, we're looking at a four-point game here, and, you know, it's there, we're four behind them, and, you know, it's a big swing one way or the other. So, we got to make sure that we bring our A-plus game tonight against a team that has played extremely well against us. This year can score at will and very dangerous in a lot of ways. So this is a huge game for us here before we go away for four. So let's try to take advantage of home ice against a very good team.
Have the new guys picked up at the deadline? Have they had time to get comfortable?
I think their own games have been fine. I think individually, you know, you'd have to say they're okay. And I think as a team, you know, just hasn't really. We just haven't seen the consistency of having the four lines, everybody clicking. I thought we had a good game in Winnipeg there, and had stretches in the last three games where we've had some real good stretches, but not enough sustaining it. And I think what makes us a good team, it's that relentless four lines, and everybody's doing the same and keeping the puck a lot more.
We have a very special guest for you, Coach.
I can't wait.
So we're going to take a quick 30-second traffic break here and come right back. And the lovely Eleanor will be with us in just a moment. Explanation right after this. Mary, what do you have?
Inbound Ixtell, an hour 25 from 53, an hour 5 from Mannheim, 42 heading out. Inbound Kennedy's 50 minutes in from O'Hare, 36 from the Edens. Edens not too bad. Stevenson, that accident, King Drive has been cleared. Inbound Ryan, 22, also cleared the accident. Northbound Tri-State at North Avenue. Traffic sponsored by 7-Eleven. Taste the awesomeness of 7-Eleven's new chicken sandwich. 100% all white meat chicken filet, signature barbecue honey mustard sauce. For only $1.99, grab one now at 7-Eleven. Awesomeness guaranteed. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Eleanor will join us in just a second, but before that, Coach Q, he gets a phone call, and one of the things I think you ought to be really proud of with this team, and I don't know if you've ever seen it through your career, but I tend to think as a lifetime hockey fan, NHL guys are better at this than most. But when this team gets asked to do stuff, they generally say where and when. But this one looked like so much fun. A one goal that took place at the Centennial Activity Center in Park Ridge. How did they explain this to you, Coach, before you went out there?
All as I can say, they says we're going to go, we're going to bring the game to them. And honestly, God, that was the most fun that maybe I've ever had in my life that day. We had an absolute riot. And it was, I shouldn't say that word lately. But anyways, we had a lot of fun, and everybody just enjoyed it to a whole new level. And it was a, oh, my God, did it ever come together? I think everybody, I can't wait to say hi to Eleanor. She had more fun than anybody, too.
And here we go. Eleanor, say hi to your new best friend, Coach Q.
Oh, my God. Love you, love you, love you.
Hey, Eleanor, did we have any fun?
So thrilled.
Eleanor, Coach asked if you had any fun that day.
The most fun, the thrill of a lifetime, totally awesome, and unexpected. Such a surprise.
Here's the thing. If people haven't seen the video, Dave, and you and I have seen it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can go to the Blackhawks website now, and you can see it. If you Google Eleanor, it'll probably come up. they brought the game in. Very early. They didn't tell the folks at the senior center there what was happening. Coach was there. Pat Foley was there to do the call.
Jim Cornelison.
Cornelison was there to do the anthem. And Coach...
Frank Pellico at the organ.
And Frank at the organ. And Coach, what did you think of Eleanor's game? Did she have any game?
Moves? Yeah, she had game. Very competitive. Yeah, very competitive. They all were so competitive. Everybody was sweating. It was unbelievable. It was like it was for keeps. Eleanor, now do you guys talk about that game a lot when you guys go back to the center?
Oh my God, it is the talk of the day. Every single day, we can't get over it. And that coach, everybody loves the coach because he could not have been any nicer. He was so kind to take pictures with everybody. This one, sure. This one, sure. We've treasured all those shots.
Well, it's a very special team, and we know how good that is. But I think it's so cool they came out and spent all that extra time with you guys. But Eleanor, he says you have game. Did you score any goals?
I did. I did.
She scored big goals, and oh yeah, that was unbelievable. The some of the playmaking, and the whacking, and oh my, they took the puck away from they were the ball. They were sour. It was good.
You were the. You were the referee, weren't you?
Yeah, and Kitch and Kevin each had a team, so it was a. And then they tied it up right at the very end, and then the best line of the whole thing was, and I'm going to use it right now. One of the ladies said, I said right at the end when it was 9-9 and it was last minute. I goes, next goal wins, sudden death, and one of the ladies says to Kitch, she goes. He can't say that to this group.
That's tremendous. Was there any trash talking, Coach, on this squad?
I don't know, Eleanor. Eleanor might has a better can answer that better.
Yeah, Eleanor. Did anybody team? Did anybody trash talk about how much?
No, we hugged each other on the opposite team. That's nice. How much we enjoyed this whole episode.
And Eleanor, I assume you've seen the video.
I have, and I've been getting calls from people saying, how lucky were you? How lucky?
Right.
And that's how we feel.
I'm surprised you're not getting calls from guys at other centers trying to pick you up and take you dancing.
No, because I'm a little too active for them.
Eleanor, you're the best. Coach, I know how much fun you had there, and it looked like a great thing. But, man, what a salute to the Blackhawks again in that one-goal campaign. It really is cool.
This was a thrill. Yeah, it was fun.
So there you go. All the guy's done is won Stanley Cups, Eleanor, and you guys gave him more fun than he's ever had.
Oh, my God. We had the best time, and they are a class act.
Well, there you go, Coach. I hope that makes your day like it does mine.
Well, we did have fun, Eleanor. Great talking and hearing how much fun we had again.
Thank you.
All right, hold the line if you would. And, Coach, I wanted to get you Eleanor's number, but she said she wouldn't give it to just anybody. hold the line. How great
it's
is
the
it?
Best.
How great a laugh does Eleanor have?
Oh, she's great.
What a great laugh.
I'm going to go back and watch the video now and see if I can pick her out.
Oh, you will. Yeah, Eleanor's got moves. She's got moves, I'm telling you right now. As a matter of fact, McDonough tried to sign her. She said, she said, talk to my people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She has an agent?
Oh, she got a gravy guy in the kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You're standing by for President Obama to speak from Cuba. I would assume a good portion of the remarks will be on the Brussels terror attack, if not all of it. Scheduled to have Alex Stone join us from ABC News on the president's visit to Cuba. A rather remarkable day yesterday. It's been overshadowed by all of this news. And then, if time allows, and she's available, I thought we'd check in with Andrea Darlis in Arizona. She's on her final day of vacation there, but to get a sense of the primary there, because she's probably been covering that while she's supposed to be enjoying her time off. So that's on the agenda going forward. But if the president's on time, which he rarely is, we'll get him in about a minute. Right now, I would assume he's slipping out of his shorts and into a suit. And we should hear from him, you know, post haste. For those of you who are catching up to the story a little slower this morning, 34 dead, 170 plus injured in multiple terror attacks in Brussels, Belgium. The ostensible capital of Europe, the home to NATO. NATO itself was a headline yesterday when Donald Trump said that it's time we stop spending all the money we spend on NATO. Is it? But at any rate, the dead and the injured number continues to rise. It appears that this is maybe not directly a reaction to the arrest of Abdul al-Salim, the surviving member of the Paris attack team, but it's hard not to draw the line between his arrest and this attack now and the similarities between the coordinated attack in Brussels at 8 o'clock local time there this morning and what happened in Paris last fall. So that's what the president will be speaking to in just a short period of time. We also hope to have time to talk to David Harris, who's sort of a modern-day Moses, if you will. For the last 35 years, he's been going around the world speaking on behalf of causes of the Jewish people and trying to maintain peace and find peace where there isn't much. So he's on the agenda as well between now and 10 o'clock. As usual, you can stay in touch with me at 312-981-7200 by text, by phone, on Twitter at Cochran Show, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. All right, if you guys got any updates, because I'm thinking we maybe take a 60-second break here and see where we are from there. And does that work for you, Jake? All right, let's do that. Back as soon as the president's ready to speak on 720 WGN. Hawks schedule tonight is what, Nick?
7 o'clock for the pregame, 7:30 puck drop at the United Center for the Blackhawks and the Dallas Stars.
All right, in honor of the Casey King kid this morning. Was it King, Casey, the little dancer?
Yes.
All right, let's dance. Mary Sandberg, who is he, are you sure we should call you Sandberg while you produce the show? I mean, it doesn't sound that friendly to me.
I don't mind Sandberg.
Sandberg's okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Mary has squatter rights on Mary.
Right.
Yeah, Mary Vanderbilt.
And you don't want to call her like Sand.
No.
Bergie. Nice.
And Mary number two is not good.
No.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
No, Mare, Angel, Sweetheart.
Well, all those are fine with me, but it could be awkward for you. All right, so you want to plug some prizes we're giving away today?
Yeah, we gave away a free pie certificate from Baker Square, the best pie in America. This Easter, order your pies at bakersquare.com. Just had a French silk from Baker Square last week, and it was amazing. And then a pair of tickets to an evening with Harry Connick Jr. I did not have him last week. On May 18th at the Chicago Theater, presented by Jam Productions.
They don't serve that at Baker Square.
Tickets are on sale now at the Chicago Theater's box office, Ticketmaster.com, or by calling 800-745-3000.
We continue to stand by for President Obama, scheduled to speak from Cuba on the attack in Brussels. And he is about to walk in, I'm being told. Far right, is that what you told me? All right, little on-air meeting. We'll turn on the microphone from ABC in Cuba as we expect the president to be ready to speak in just a second on his perspective and our perspective of what happened in Brussels.
Bring on to the Alicia Alonso Grand Theater of Havana, the president of the Council of State and of Minister, Raul Castro Ruz.
Okay, that was obviously Raul Castro. Is he going to speak first?
They're actually introducing Raul Castro and some of the dignitaries that are going to be in the seats, the VIP seats, to watch the president.
I see. Okay. And then the president will speak.
Yeah. This is actually part of the president's larger address to the Cuban people, but we're told that his initial remarks will be on Brussels.
And just so people aren't offended, we will probably take a chunk of that, but we won't take the full remarks. Those will be covered throughout the day in the news, but we certainly want to hear what he's saying about Brussels. Right now, the dignitaries are continuing to be introduced as the select crowd is turning around in this hall in Cuba to watch. And what is the schedule of the president? Do they come home today?
I'm not sure. I think he might be there for another day. I couldn't tell you. This is the major event, though, of this week. Is this address to the people of Cuba?
There is a podium checker. Yes, that really is a job. There is a podium checker who just rushed to the podium to make sure it was properly centered. The murmur you hear in the background are just people milling about as they wait. And it's sort of interesting to see the flags behind the podium, the flag of Cuba and the flag of the United States side by side.
I think he was centering the seal of the United States, the presidential seal there on that podium.
As the hope of this trip was to continue to break down the walls of the formerly very icy Cuban-American relations. And yesterday in the conversations that took place, in the press conference that took place, joint press conference, the embargo talk came up again. The president said that he had hoped to end the embargo, but there was no idea when that would happen. Raul Castro got very testy with a CNN reporter who asked about political prisoners and said, name them, they'll be released. So I don't know if that's some form of a Cuban quiz show, but certainly human rights have been a question there for a long time. And it's part and parcel to one of the reasons that so many Cuban Americans have issues with the Castro family.
And meanwhile, the floodgates are opening up. Google, Airbnb, all of these different companies have started doing business now in Cuba. They're going to start allowing more airline flights, more tourism there. They're going to Google's going to bring in some broadband. So major changes in Cuba.
Yeah, Airbnb.
Hace su entrada al Gran Teatro de La Habana,
this would be
Alexis
the,
Alonso,
the Spanish introduction.
De America, Barack Obama.
And he should be
now,
entering now.
Entering the Grand Theater of Havana, the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
The President will be at the Marlins Cubs game in Havana later today. It's the Marlins Cuba game, right? The Cubs aren't playing, huh?
Thank you. Muchas gracias.
Yeah, take Cuba.
Thank you so much. Please. Thank you very much. To President Castro, the people of Cuba, thank you so much for the warm welcome that I have received, that my family have received, and that our delegation has received. It is an extraordinary honor to be here today. Before I begin, please indulge me. I want to comment on the terrorist attacks that have taken place in Brussels. The thoughts and the prayers of the American people are with the people of Belgium, and we stand in solidarity with them in condemning these outrageous attacks against innocent people. We will do whatever is necessary to support our friend and ally, Belgium, in bringing to justice those who are responsible. And this is yet another reminder that the world must unite. We must be together, regardless of nationality or race or faith, in fighting against the scourge of terrorism. We can and we will defeat those who threaten the safety and security of people all around the world. To the government and the people of Cuba, I want to thank you for the kindness that you've shown to me and Michelle, Malia, Sasha, my mother-in-law, Marion. Cultivo una rosa blanca. In his most famous poem, José Martí made this offering of friendship and peace to both his friend and his enemy. Today, as the President of the United States of America, I offer the Cuban people el saludo de paz. Havana is only 90 miles from Florida, but to get here, we had to travel a great distance over barriers of history and ideology, barriers of pain and separation. The blue waters beneath Air Force One once carried American battleships to this island to liberate, but also to exert control over Cuba. Those waters also carried generations of Cuban revolutionaries to the United States, where they built support for their cause. And that short distance has been crossed by hundreds of thousands of Cuban exiles on planes and makeshift rafts, who came to America in pursuit of freedom and opportunity, sometimes leaving behind everything they owned and every person that they loved. Like so many people in both of our countries, my lifetime has spanned a time of isolation between us. The Cuban Revolution took place the same year that my father came to the United States from Kenya. The Bay of Pigs took place the year that I was born. The next year, the entire world held its breath watching our two countries as humanity came as close as we ever have to the horror of nuclear war. As the decades rolled by, our government settled into a seemingly endless confrontation, fighting battles through proxies. In a world that remade itself time and again, one constant was the conflict between the United States and Cuba. I have come here to bury the last remnant of the Cold War in the Americas.
President Obama speaking in Cuba before heading off for a baseball game this afternoon and other things. Obviously, the remarks will continue, and we will have those covered throughout the day in the news and amongst other places. Steve Grzanich is in the WGN newsroom. And, Steve, not a lot said by the president there in regards to Brussels, but in all fairness, he doesn't know that much more than the rest of the world knows at this point, and just said, we're going to get them. We're going to do what we have, and we're stronger together than we are apart.
And using the opportunity to his visit in Cuba to remind the countries of why, in his words, we all need to stand together as a world and not separate countries to fight terrorism. Good example of, you know, trying to pull everybody together to have this solid single front against terrorism.
Right. And the unity of message that he's trying to bring between America and Cuba continues. As his comments continue, Steve will monitor that. We have a big story coming up at the bottom of the hour. And we'll keep up with it for you as we progress on a very busy, unexpectedly so, somewhat tragic, and somewhat uplifting and hilarious, thanks to our friend Eleanor, Steve Cochran Show. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:27, as we continue, the two names I mentioned in the last 20 minutes, for those of you who weren't up early today, Casey King was our Kid of the Week, and Eleanor is this lovely woman who Coach Q fell for hard at the Centennial Activity Center in Park Ridge, a senior center that wanted to have an opportunity to go to a Blackhawks game. So they went ahead and let the Blackhawks know that was their one goal. The Blackhawks did them one better. They brought the game to them with Pat Foley doing the call, Jim Cornelison doing the anthem, and Coach Q doing the reffing in a game of floor hockey between the seniors at the senior center. And I'm telling you, whatever's happening in your world today, you know, you got a rough day at work, traffic's a little tough, your kids aren't listening to you, watch this video. It'll make your day. We got a text from someone. I'll read this here. This is Ross Cochran, former producer, and I endorse Eleanor for president. Eleanor, Casey King, all will be up on podcast if they're not up already, wherever you get the Steve Cochran Show podcast, and you can listen to it whenever you want, and you can share it with your friends. You could do that at iHeart. You can do it at TuneIn, where I listen all the time. You can also do the WGN Radio app. WGNradio.com or subscribe on iTunes for that matter. 312-981-7200 is your text and call number for anybody, including, you know, my son, if you want to get a hold of me. He actually has the regular number, but like many millennials, he doesn't realize the phone works that way. Mayor Emanuel was on this morning with me about 7:45, and we talked about a very cool initiative for the city's parks and rec space and essentially turning the river into what the lakefront is, and that is a place that's accessible, a place that is available to residents, to tourists, and a much expanded parks and recs program as well, in the midst of a lot of bad news and a lot of questions the mayor has to answer for and answer to every day. It's another strong initiative. And when you look at 1871, the tech hub, when you look at the parks that Mayor Daley rightfully gets a lot of credit for, because Mayor Daley was the parks guy. Mayor Emanuel's done a nice job with that as well. In the meantime, he also said that his selection of who the new police superintendent will be is going to take a little more time. He's just now getting to the point where he's going through the DeKalb County, Georgia, former Deputy Chief Cedric Alexander, the former Spokane Police Chief Anna Kirkpatrick, or the former Chicago Police Chief of support services, Eugene Williams. Those are your three finalists. If he decides that none of those three are right for the job, in his view, he can ask for more submissions. Interestingly enough, this time around, there were less applicants than there had been before. So you have to wonder, does that mean that people don't want to be dealing with the mess that Chicago can be, or maybe take on the politics of Chicago and all that? One concern is, and I'm sure this woman is eminently qualified, Anna Kirkpatrick, but she ran a police department in Spokane of 300 officers. We have 12,000 in Chicago. But someone who pointed out that these choices are great choices also said, once you get past New York, L.A., and Chicago, and Dallas, and Miami, and Atlanta, and any other very large city, it drops off significantly. There's a lot of Milwaukee's out there, and there's a lot of Spokane's and places like that, and it doesn't mean they're not qualified cops. Obviously, when I was talking to Mayor Emanuel, I also asked him about any safety warnings for the city of Chicago after what happened in Brussels.
Well, first of all, when it comes to security, my first objective is obviously to protect our residents from gun violence, no credible threat to the city of Chicago's transportation system or aviation system. But we have to be cognizant. We do a lot of run-throughs. We also have the Office of Emergency Management, OEMC, on the Western Loop side. And all of us, and it's not just on the security, every one of us have to be vigilant.
Again, you can get all of Mayor Emanuel's remarks on the podcast as well. The podcasts go up intermittently throughout the show as time allows, but they're all up shortly after the show. So get them, collect them all, share them with your friends. 9:31, back with a big story next on 720 WGN. Nine 9:40 in the morning. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. John DeCoste is here, and John and I will be doing stand-up with Ross Cochran and Kevin Powell and Andrea Darlis if she comes back from Arizona. We're going to talk to Andrea in Arizona in just a second.
Good.
And there's some tickets left, but not many.
Right.
So get them where?
You can go to WilmetTheater.com, or you can call the box office directly at 847-251-8710.
And before we get to Andre, a lot of people say Steve, and I say what? And they say, Steve, what does John do when he's not doing stand-up or not here? You've asked that question before.
I have asked that many times.
He shoots videos for YouTube, and he puts them up on YouTube. And if you go to his YouTube channel, This Day in DeCoste History, is that what it's called?
Today in DeCoste.
Oh, Today in DeCoste.
Yes, yes. And that's close.
That's small D, capital E, P is silent. No, how do you spell it? How long have I known you?
It's okay. DACOSSE.
DACOSSE.
Yes.
Today in DeCoste. And we mentioned some of the videos that are up there earlier, but the goal here was to make you a YouTube star.
Right.
How are we doing? Are people following you?
Oh, yeah, two.
No, you've got more than that.
No, I actually have quite a few.
Yeah, you got hundreds.
Yeah, actually, I'm really surprised. So
they tune in for videos like watching you make toast?
Yes, breakfast doggy toast.
Right, and what else?
Good. We also did Star Wars, The Lego Builder Awakens. That's
you doing Star Wars in Legos?
That's right. We're building in the little...
Who's the we?
Well, it's little Frankie who actually builds it in about 2 seconds.
I noticed that you're using a lot of child labor in these videos.
Here's the thing. A piece of candy is the pay. And your budget for me on this?
They work cheap.
Yeah.
The kids work cheap.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
What did I say? Tender Shades of Gray.
Tender Shades of Gray. I like this.
Yeah, that one was pretty good.
Tender Shades of Gray is your wife encouraging you to go on Tinder.
Actually, I hadn't checked my Tinder account in like 25 years.
Yeah, and your wife was fine with you checking.
Yeah, so she came with me for the date.
And you checked it, and there's actually a date, and your wife... Tender Shades of Gray. What else?
Yes. American Idol, which I love.
Well, I don't know this one.
That's the one where the camera follows as I'm singing in the shower. The shower curtain goes back, but I'm not on the shower. I'm sitting on the toilet. Yes, singing.
Yeah. That is awkward. That is awkward.
I am dressed. I'm fully dressed.
But if the camera crew comes in, it's still very awkward.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Let me tell you, I was in college. I don't know if I ever told this story on the air. So in college, I had a roommate who I wasn't crazy about. But he was very, very persnickety, very efficient. Efficient to the point. This is the first time I ever did a morning show. And I was doing a morning show on a station that no one could hear. It didn't even come into my headphones. That's how small it was. And this guy had a lovely girlfriend who couldn't have been a bigger bitch. And he would bring her back to the apartment, and they would have sex every night at the same time. And it was loud and disturbing to someone in thin walls of a cheap apartment who was trying to sleep to get up to do their big show the next day. So I thought it would be funny, because there was a very much a routine for this guy. I thought it would be funny to recreate this the shower scene from Psycho, much like John was talking about in the bathroom. So he had this steak knife collection, and I grabbed this big steak knife.
Oh, no.
And I jump into the shower, and I pull the curtain to the shower, and I'm waiting in the shower because I know his routine. He comes into the bathroom, then he meets her in the bedroom, and then Cirque du Soleil starts. So I'm standing in the bathtub with the shower curtain pulled. I hear the door close. I'm laughing because I know what's going to happen. Comes in. I hear, you know, the seat go down, and that should have been a clue to me. I decide this is my moment. I throw the curtain back with a knife. It's the girl. She hated me before. Now she's sitting on the toilet, and I'm standing there in my underwear with a knife.
And then what happened?
We didn't live together that long after that. We went our separate ways.
Ironically, that's my next video.
Is that on there? All right. Sorry, you just keyed that story.
Yeah.
That was good. What will that be called?
No, it was worth it. Yes.
Yeah. You got one more for me?
Serial Killer, which is my favorite.
Serial Killer seems to be very popular.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's really like. C-E-R-E-A-L?
Yes. It's Breakfast Cereal Killer. Okay. Yes.
You can get all these by going to A Day in the Cuss.
Two day into cause. Yeah. Or Evening in the Midsummer Night of Decaus is fine too. Today into cause on YouTube.
On YouTube, yes. And you can get those. And we're looking for listeners to send you something.
Yes, please.
That is worthy of posting. For the time being, you can send them all to @Cochran Show, and then we'll decide from there.
Perfect.
Okay,
perfect.
On Twitter. Andrea Darlis is here, and she's in Arizona enjoying vacation. But because she's following the politics, so we don't have to, she's also keeping an eye on the Arizona primary today. When does voting start?
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on my tea time, too, which is probably, 15, 20 minutes away from now.
Well, I appreciate you breaking away from that. It's nice of you to break away.
I love that story, too, by the way. That was great. I really enjoyed the Cirque du Soleil story. It was very cute.
Well, it's true. It's a true story. True. Just one of the pieces of
voting.
My past.
Voting is underway in Arizona. I tell you, I thought I was going to get away for a few days, relax, which I have been doing. Then traffic was snarled by the Donald Trump protesters about half a mile from where I'm staying. So that was exciting.
He's right down the street from your hotel, or he was, I should say.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah, he was in Fountain Hills, which that's where I was staying. And there were helicopters circling above on the golf course, and I thought, oh, Cochran, please, I can't get away for a few days. Here you are again.
Right. Yeah,
and
that's me.
it's all the Trump paparazzi. They snarled traffic. A couple of the protesters were arrested. There's all kinds of fallback from that. So he left town, and then yesterday Hillary had thousands of people at a Phoenix high school, and then Bernie Sanders was in Flagstaff. So they're all over the place. They're all crisscrossing the state. Polls are open now. There's a lot up at stake. This is a winner-take-all state, of course. 85 delegates for the Democrats, 58 for the Republicans.
Very conservative state. Trump's running away with it, isn't he?
Oh, completely, yeah. He's got a 13-point lead right now over Ted Cruz. That was the latest this morning. Cruz closed the gap a little bit. Those numbers were wider over the weekend, and now Cruz is closing in just a little bit, but still 13 points, and Hillary has a 25-point lead over Bernie Sanders. So those two appear to be about to take Arizona. Again, anything can happen. What's interesting, though, about this, Steve, is that the former governor of Arizona has been very outspoken about this being a closed primary. So you have to declare beforehand, unlike Illinois, where you can just go up and say Republican or Democrat. And he's been a very vocal opponent, because he says that more than 30% of voters in Arizona are still undecided or independent. So they kind of get screwed in this whole deal.
Right, they shouldn't have to pick, is his point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what about what are you seeing news-wise about Senator McCain? Friend of the show, Senator McCain is at this point, he should be a home run for re-election every time. He is in his toughest re-election battle ever.
He is. He absolutely is. You know, honestly, it's so funny. The last time I was here, which was, I don't know, maybe seven plus years ago, that's all you heard about was McCain. He's really, I don't want to say kind of fallen by the wayside, but definitely not as popular anymore. Who's really soared to the forefront is Gabby Giffords, who's throwing her support. Every other commercial on TV is Gabby Giffords supporting Hillary Clinton. But I haven't heard a lot about McCain. I haven't seen.
That's not a good sign.
Signs or anything.
No, that's not a good sign.
No.
And we'll look up some poll information from there. All right, where are you playing golf today?
Today, Phoenician.
Yeah, there you go.
I saw your friends. You said hi.
Do that. Last time I played the Phoenician, I believe it was last time. Maybe it was two times ago. There was a rattlesnake on the 18th green.
We played there. There was a coyote following us for a few holes.
Yeah, remember? And it ran three fairways over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wandered off. You know, there's
wandered off.
So what happened with the rattlesnake?
By the way,
the rattlesnake. Well, we left him alone.
Oh,
yes, yeah, we left
good
him
choice.
Alone. Yeah, that seemed like
the
right call.
You guys,
yeah,
I'm playing with a ringer today. You might have heard of her. Her name is Gloria Samuelson.
Ah, fantastic.
I hear she's pretty good. Yeah,
fantastic. Well, tell her hello and have a good time and get back here. When are you back? Are you back Thursday show? Is that when you're back?
Yeah, I'm back tomorrow, but I'll be back with you guys on Thursday. I need a day to regroup and to, you know.
Recover from vacation.
Yeah.
Recover from.
Well, you come back. It's like an astronaut coming back from space. You have to decompress. You know, there's the questioning period. You have to make sure that you've got your balance back, your equilibrium, all of that. We don't sit here for 4 hours for nothing.
I have to prep for Thursday's show.
Yeah.
I have to put the aloe on my shoulders.
Yeah. No, we can do that when you get back. All right. Fly safe. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye, guys.
There you go. Andre Darlis live in Arizona. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Let's look at polls from Real Clear Politics. McCain is up by 13-1, but up by as little as a point in his Senate race against Kirkpatrick in Arizona. That's the other big race in Arizona that people are keeping an eye on. We'll keep an eye on Brussels throughout the day for you. A dual suicide bombing in the airport in Brussels and one in the train station as well has killed something in the neighborhood of 35 and injured now close to 200, though those numbers could go up even further. The president speaking in Cuba a few moments ago said we will get them and talked about the unity of all countries in doing that. It seems to mimic the terrorist plan that went down in Paris last fall and may be related. It doesn't seem like too big a stretch to the arrest of Abdel Salim and whether he signaled the terrorist act or the terrorist partners of his panicked in Brussels that he might give them up. That seemed to be the urgency and why things went down the way they went down this morning. The biggest question from a fighting the bad guys note is how'd they miss it? So all those will be questions you will hear throughout the day. And thanks to everybody that was already on the show today. Dancing with the Stars, Mary, yesterday at this time, you said you would give us your ultimate pick after seeing everybody dance.
Yes. There were quite a few actual good dancers. And Geraldo, not so much.
No, Geraldo looked more like he had an itch.
He didn't even move.
He looked like he had to scratch something.
His face was permanently stuck on there. Who was the top model? Niall DeMarco. He is deaf, by the way. He's awesome.
He dances without hearing music?
He cannot hear the music. And PETA,
wow.
PETA Murgatroyd is his professional partner, and she did an unbelievable job. He was right on time, rhythmically unbelievable. And
I don't even know how you do that.
I don't know. He can feel the vibrations, he said, to the music. And that's how he got through the music. And
this is bad news for all men who don't necessarily feel good
wins,
about their dancing.
Yeah, it's really going to be embarrassed, but he is unbelievably good. He should win, and Ginger Z's really good, too.
Oh, she was pretty good, yeah.
She was good. You saw it.
Though I don't need to hear, and Ginger's an old friend, and we don't need to hear conversations about, I apologize in advance if I get milk on you because I'm breastfeeding.
Yeah, she was lactating.
What?
It's not good.
Does that need to be on TV?
Yeah, we didn't need to hear that.
It's between you and your lactation.
And the football players, except Doug Flutie, are pretty good.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, Flutie. So-so?
Yeah.
Sorry, so you're picking.
Who am I picking? I might pick Wanya Morris, actually. From Boys to Men.
Oh, he was great.
He's really
good. Big Chocolate Thunder.
He is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He
was the bigger kid from Boys to Men, and that dude still got hops.
I
love him.
I might pick him.
A good call by you.
Yeah.
All right. Before we run out of time, and Bill and Wendy will be here, let's do the Hawkopedia.
The Blackhawks.
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh. The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Sponsored by Fresh Wave, the official deodorizer of your favorite team, your Chicago Blackhawks. Dave.
We've been talking all morning about the fact the season's down to 9 games for the Blackhawks, and they're in a 4-way race, as Coach Q called us a little earlier. It's a 4-point game tonight, 2 points either way when the Blackhawks host Dallas. The standings, Dallas 95 points, St. Louis 93, the Blackhawks 91, and here comes Nashville with 87. So it may very well come down to who's playing whom over the final couple weeks. How do the respective schedules shape up? We know the Blackhawks have Dallas tonight, but then they go on the road for 4 straight against teams not currently in playoff position. In fact, of the Hawks' remaining 9 games, only 3 are against teams that would make the playoffs as of today. Dallas has just 2 games against non-playoff teams, both against Arizona, but Dallas has 2 games left, both at home with Nashville, and they have 2 West Coast trips, and on the second one, back-to-back games at L.A. and Anaheim. St. Louis also has 7 of the last 9 against playoff teams, including 2 with the league-leading Washington Capitals. They play the Blackhawks in the Hawks' last home game. Nashville, red hot, has only 3 games left against non-playoff teams. So it appears the Blackhawks have the most favorable schedule of the 4, but we'll see. Again, Dallas tonight.
What time?
It's 7 o'clock right here on WGN. That's
nice
our Hawkopedia.
Nice job, Dave Bennett. Bill and Wendy are here, and I hope you guys heard my favorite part of the show today, which was Coach Q's new girlfriend, Eleanor.
She was great.
Awesome.
Wasn't she great?
Yes.
Competitor, a fierce competitor.
The Blackhawks do such wonderful things.
Did you see the video?
Yes.
The video is tremendous. This was a video of a bunch of older folks who got to play floor hockey with most of the Blackhawks brass, including Coach Q at the Centennial Activity Center in Park Ridge. You get the whole thing on podcast. Give me 10 seconds of this.
You were the referee, weren't you?
Yeah, and Kitch and Kevin each had a team. So it was a and then they tied it up right at the very end. And then the best line of the whole thing was, and I'm going to use it right now. One of the ladies said, I said right at the end when it was 9-9 and it was last minute, I goes, next goal wins, sudden death. And one of the ladies says to Kitch, she goes, he can't say that to this group.
Coach Q and Ellen are vacationing right now in the Dells.
Aww.
Well, I know you guys got a lot to do, so take it away. We'll see you tomorrow.